there's a lot of nature here. I recommend taking walks in nature, looking at the trees, at the sky. There's a lake, the grass, the flowers, many, many lovely things. Be as present as you can and alert. And as you walk around from one building to another, from here to there, really perceive. That already is a liberation from the usual self. And you see so much aliveness and beauty all around you, and other senses are part of that also. There's not just the visual. You listen, there's the sounds, there may be birds, other sounds. You breathe in the air. You feel, you hear the sound of your steps on whatever it is, gravel, if there's a sound, or you sense the softness of the grass. And you look at the sky without labeling very much. You don't need to mentally call it what it is, what for. You know what it is without calling it what it is. You don't need to have a mental comment that says, oh, that's a lovely sky. I wonder if the weather's going to last. No, you don't need that. And this is the discovery that you don't need that. When you need it, you have it. But if you want to tell somebody the weather forecast, you have it. But you don't need it. You perceive more deeply by not labeling, and that is the retreat from the mind. And then it becomes a true retreat. So you walk from point A to point B as in that sense of a sense of wonder. And then you sense there's not only then what you perceive through your senses, because after all, that is the surface reality. It's beautiful. But as you perceive the beautiful surface reality of multiplicity of life forms, you can also sense an underlying stillness or presence as yourself. I can sense it at this moment. At this moment, words come out of my mouth, but I can sense the place where these words originate, and they do not originate in my mind. My mind becomes an instrument for it. It formulates the words, but the words originate from a deeper place. And when you listen to these words, you can also listen to these words from that deeper place within yourself, and something within you responds, not in words, but it's like a recognition of what it is that I'm talking about. And so you can, as I speak from that deeper place of alert stillness, you can listen from that deeper place of alert stillness. And that now that's a real retreat. Now it's become a retreat. So whether or not you are on a retreat depends, of course, on your state of consciousness. So use the opportunity of being here, and as much as possible, let go of the usual self, which includes your life situation that you've left behind temporarily. Everybody has one. You have a certain life situation that's to do with where you live, who you live with, the job you have, your financial situation, even your health situation. It's all to do with your life situation. But you don't want to carry, you don't want to be a walking life situation, because then you have to juggle all these things in your mind to keep them going. What about this and what about that? And at least one area probably is problematic in your life, whether it's your living situation, your home, whether it's your relationship situation or your marriage or whatever it is, or whether it's your financial situation or your job situation or your health situation. It's unlikely that there's not at least one that's quite problematic. And if for many of you it's more than one, then maybe even some of you, if all these are problematic. But do you want to walk around as a problematic sense of self? Not saying, I'm going to ignore all these problems and never take any more action for the rest of my life. No, it's not that. But when you don't need that, why be burdened by that? And right now, there's nothing you can do about any of it. So why not step out, transcend your life situation, and I use those that term in The Power of Now, instead of being immersed and carrying around with you that your life situation is a burden, a continuous burden, a burdensome sense of self, instead of that, be the life. You are life. You're not just a life situation. You are life. You are an expression of the one life that manifests as the universe. Underlying the universe, there is the oneness of life. You are that one life that was there before the Big Bang, if there was a Big Bang. You are the one life, the one out of which the whole universe came, and not only out of which the whole universe came, out of which the whole universe continuously comes, continuously brings forth life, new forms. And you are that. And so, isn't that a much more satisfying way of being in this world than a walking, problematic life situation? You are life. So, and here on this retreat, it's the recognition that you are a manifestation of the universe, of the consciousness that underlies the universe, and you are that universe experiencing yourself, or the universe experiencing itself. And you go, it's all too wonderful. And there's an innocence comes with that perception, like you've just arrived in this world. You're not using, you're not applying the old labels of your mind. And if they do come occasionally, that's fine. You recognize them as a label, and then you say, okay, let's go. You look at a bird, and you see that incredible aliveness that's in the bird, the incredible energy that's in the bird when it goes past. And some birds just fly and fly. And where does that energy come from? And they seem to be enjoying themselves. It's not just some scientists say everything is utilitarian. Now they are flying in order to find food, and then they're flying in order to find the mate. No, they're also flying because they love flying. I have observed eagles where in British Columbia, where we are, the eagles. And you can see that they are there because they are in a state of joy. They're not looking for anything because they can go around you a long, long time. What are they doing? They must be enjoying themselves. And they hardly ever, the wings of eagles hardly ever move. They fly with totally effortlessly. They can be like this for 10, 15 minutes, no movement. They go like that. Imagine experiencing the universe as an eagle, like that, high up. The incredible joy they must sense. So be in that joy. You also can be in that joy. That is the joy that underlies the joy of being conscious. The joy of consciousness. So you become conscious of your own consciousness when you sense that presence, the presence that underlies all sense perceptions, the I, the deeper I. And then you walk around the campus in a deep sense of enjoyment. So the enjoyment then has two levels to it. One is whatever you perceive through your senses. And then the deeper enjoyment is the presence that you sense, without which the universe would not perceive itself. You would not perceive the deeper underlying presence. And knowing yourself as the deeper underlying presence is real joy and sense of aliveness. Some people might call it happiness. I don't use that word too much because it's too often associated with superficial things. I'm happy because this good thing has just happened to me. And of course, a day later, you're unhappy because it disappeared. But also, but it's a question of how one uses words. It's fine. Happy is good too, if you like the word. There's a deeper. I'm talking about the deeper happiness. So, that's the retreat. Be the presence more than the person. If the person occasionally will reassert itself, even here, and for a few minutes, you might be immersed in your life situation. Perhaps it happens when you use your, check your emails. And so that your mind gets easily cluttered again, or you might even check Twitter, Facebook, what's happening, on what are my friends doing? Text messages coming in. More clutter for the mind. So, as much as possible, let go, and when you might sense withdrawal symptoms if you don't use these devices for a while, and you might sense like it's almost like somebody who smokes or drinks and feels, I need another fix, I need another drink, I need another smoke, I need another email. So, this introductory talk is more than an introductory talk. There's a book that somebody wrote. It's called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, which means the real Zen, which of Zen really means awakening, to be awake, the state of presence is Zen. Alert stillness is Zen. Zen mind, beginner's mind, means it's not an accumulation of knowledge that takes you to awakening. In fact, the beginner's mind is the mind that's still empty. It hasn't been filled yet. Now, of course, your mind has been filled by life. It cannot not have been filled, and yet you don't need to be identified with all that stuff and confuse it with who you are. And so you can be a beginner again in that state of emptiness, which is also a state of fullness. And that is, it helps to be here because, as I said, I speak from that alert stillness. It's not the person that gives these talks. It's kind of, that's why I have a little book that says Stillness Speaks, which is almost a paradox, but that's how it is. So, living from there, that speaks, that gives a talk. Not the person doesn't give the talk, and the person doesn't listen to the talk. If you listen to this talk only as the person, it makes no sense whatsoever. Because if you listen to this talk only with the accumulation in your mind, what is he talking about? And that was the case, for example, when a reviewer for Time magazine read A New Earth and said, what is this mumbo jumbo? And that became the review in Time magazine. But we need to be compassionate. I hate Time magazine. I'm never going to buy a Time again. And that was the same year when Time magazine declared Bush Man of the Year. Well, what do you expect? It's called Time. Yeah. Okay, well, so, forgiveness. So, if you are only here as the person, it doesn't make much sense. So, even if your mind tells you, I can't quite work out what it is he's talking about, of course you can't. It's not the mind that can understand it. You can only understand the essence of it by touching that in you that resonates with it. So if it feels good to sit here and listen, that means it's working. Because that means that in you that responds to it and is of the same is emerging, and that's all. It does not depend on increased intellectual understanding of spirituality. That may come as a byproduct occasionally here and there, but that is not what gets you there. So it's not based on intellectual understanding. In a way, it's almost the opposite of that. Have the courage to go into that place. Rather than thinking you need to know everything, have the courage to embrace the state of not knowing. And that's the state when you walk around the campus and you perceive without needing to have some interpretation of what it is you're perceiving. So you don't know anymore, so you have the courage to embrace, inhabit, be the state of not knowing. In the same way, when I start giving a talk, I don't know what I'm going to talk about because I'm not giving the talk. I don't need to know. It would be a terrible burden if I had to know what I'm going to talk about. And so that is a wonderful, and in that state of not knowing, there is a deeper knowing that is not a conceptual knowing. There's a deeper knowing, it transcends conceptual knowing. And that is the place where wisdom, we have this beautiful word, wisdom, that is the place where wisdom arises. That is the place of wisdom, which is far deeper than intelligence. Many people are intelligent without a shred of wisdom, and it's a very dangerous condition. If humans develop and overdevelop the analytical mind and the ability of the analytical mind to do things without any wisdom, it's happening already, it has happened, they create havoc. And so those who are not in touch with that, just cultivating the mind is not only dangerous for the world, it's also dangerous for the individual, because ultimately it leads you to madness. So this is a great adventure. The adventure of consciousness, awakening to itself. And what could be more enjoyable than feeling that you are part of that? You are consciousness awakening through this particular short-lived form. You are the universe awakening. It's an evolutionary, an awakening of consciousness. You're not just a little person. You are something much deeper, and it's the awakening of the universe. And as a byproduct of that, your so-called life becomes actually a more pleasant experience. This is a byproduct of awakening. It gets easier, because it doesn't mean you're no stuff happening. Challenges continue to come at you. The universe is built in that way. That's how it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to have no more challenges in life. You are supposed to have many challenges, and it's through the challenges that awakening happens. After suffering, a lot of suffering, at first challenges produce more and more the pressure of suffering and the weight of suffering, and then awakening happens. Without the challenges that the life gives you, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. And they're not going to stop as you awaken spiritually, but the way in which you deal with them changes. And you begin to almost welcome them when they come, because you recognize that is an inevitable part of existence on this dimension, a necessary part. And of course it's already been expressed in this classical book, The Road Less Traveled, which starts with the famous sentence, "Life is difficult." Very profound statement, true. And the next sentence is, I don't know it literally anymore, but and if you recognize that life is difficult, that it's in the nature of life to be difficult, then it's not difficult anymore. And so what does he mean? I knew immediately what he meant, so I never had to read the whole book. When you recognize, I just need to read the first paragraph.
Yes.
He got it. When you recognize that life is difficult, meaning that challenges are inseparable from being here in this world, and then you say, oh, and then you accept that life is difficult. Of course it's difficult, that's why it's life. So you then suddenly the inner resistance when challenges come isn't there anymore. You no longer go, not another one, I can't take it anymore. Or you attack every challenge and say, oh, I'm going to make it, I'm going to hurt. That's not pleasant, because you think they shouldn't be there. You regard things that happen as enemies. No, it comes a point of acceptance of, oh, that, no, challenges come in many forms. It can be a very small challenge, like a little beetle crawling in your bed. That's very small. I had one last night. And then they grow bigger. But it's all fine. So you accept that that's in the nature of life, and then it's not that difficult anymore. It's only really difficult when you think, this should not be happening. Or you think, why is this happening to me? Why is always me? Because everybody else seems to be okay. You look at them in the street and they all go, and they don't seem to have any problems. But if you look more closely, you realize, oh no, they have problems, lots, because they don't look that happy. They try to. In some countries they're better at hiding it. In the United States they're quite much better at saying, I'm fine. And if you go to Russia, they tell you the truth, they say, I'm not happy. Not everybody, but... So enjoy this particular part of the adventure of life, the awakening, and use the opportunity so that you're not just on a retreat on a surface level, but a true retreat, an inner retreat from your usual self. When you go to sleep, if you can, as present as possible, maybe by sensing the inner energy field in your body, and go to sleep from there. So you lie on your back, scan the body with your inner attention, and feel that it is alive, and then be that aliveness. That's very enjoyable. And when that happens, you don't need your mind to tell you that life is enjoyable, or your mind telling you you're so much better off than those people, you should be enjoying yourself. That's not a good foundation for enjoyment, just to see you can only enjoy life when you look at others who are worse off than you yourself. No, it has to come from a true, not convincing yourself that you, not a true immediate realization of aliveness and joy. So as you go to sleep, you lie there on your bed. And if you have a roommate, some of you have, if you get challenged in the middle of the night by your roommate snoring, then this is your first opportunity of surrender. Or, of course, first you can try to wake him or her up. Wake up. That might work for a few minutes and then goes back to snoring. And then you come to, and then you realize there's also a joy in complete acceptance. It's fine. No, nobody inside anymore, neither on the emotional level nor on the mental level, that says this should not be happening. Or this should not be happening to me. No, this just the isness of this moment, and then even somebody snoring, which is a small challenge, can actually take you to a place of peace and joy when you completely accept. And it's through the challenges that awakening happens. After a lot of suffering, at first challenges produce more and more the pressure of suffering and the weight of suffering. And then awakening happens. Without the challenges that the life gives you, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. And there's no, they're not going to stop as you awaken spiritually, but the way in which you deal with them changes. And you begin to almost welcome them when they come, because you recognize that is an inevitable part of existence on this dimension, a necessary part. And of course it's already been expressed in this classical book, The Road Less Traveled, which starts with the famous sentence, life is difficult. Very profound statement, true. And the next sentence is, I don't know it literally anymore, but and if you recognize that life is difficult, that it's in the nature of life to be difficult, then it's not difficult anymore. And so what does he mean? I knew immediately what he meant, so I never had to read the whole book. When you recognize, I just need to read the first paragraph. Yes, he got it. When you recognize that life is difficult, meaning that challenges are inseparable from being here in this world, and then you say, oh, and then you accept that life is difficult. Of course it's difficult, that's why it's life. So you, then suddenly the inner resistance when challenges come isn't there anymore. You no longer go, not another one, I can't take it anymore. Or you attack every challenge. Oh, I'm going to make it. I'm going to hurt. That's not pleasant, because you think they shouldn't be there. You regard things that happen as enemies. No, it comes a point of acceptance of, oh, that, no, challenges come in many forms. It can be a very small challenge, like a little beetle crawling in your bed. That's very small. I had one last night. And then they grow bigger. But it's all fine. So you accept that that's in the nature of life, and then it's not that difficult anymore. It's only really difficult when you think, this should not be happening. Or you think, why is this happening to me? Why is it always me? Because everybody else seems to be okay. You look at them in the street and they all go. And they don't seem to have any problems. But if you look more closely, you realize, oh no, they have problems, lots, because they don't look that happy. They try to. In some countries, they're better at hiding it. In the United States, they're quite much better at saying, I'm fine. And if you go to Russia, they tell you the truth. They say, I'm not happy. Not everybody, but... So enjoy this particular part of the adventure of life, the awakening, and use the opportunity so that you're not just on a retreat on a surface level, but a true retreat, an inner retreat from your usual self. When you go to sleep, if you can, be as present as possible, maybe by sensing the inner energy field in your body, and go to sleep from there. So you lie on your back, scan the body with your inner attention, and feel that it is alive, and then be that aliveness. That's very enjoyable. And when that happens, you don't need your mind to tell you that life is enjoyable, or your mind telling you you're so much better off than those people, you should be enjoying yourself. That's not a good foundation for enjoyment, just to see. You can only enjoy life when you look at others who are worse off than you yourself. No, it has to come from a true, not convincing yourself that you, not a true immediate realization of aliveness and joy. So as you go to sleep, you lie there on your bed. And if you have a roommate, some of you have, if you get challenged in the middle of the night by your roommate snoring, then this is your first opportunity of surrender, or, of course, first you can try to wake him or her up. Wake up. That might work for a few minutes and then goes back to snoring. And then you come to, and then you realize there's also a joy in complete acceptance. It's fine. No, nobody inside anymore, neither on the emotional level nor on the mental level, that says, this should not be happening, or this should not be happening to me. No, it's just the isness of this moment, and then even somebody snoring, which is a small challenge, can actually take you to a place of peace and joy when you completely accept. And when that happens, you don't need your mind to tell you that life is enjoyable, or your mind telling you you're so much better off than those people, you should be enjoying yourself. That's not a good foundation for enjoyment, just to see you can only enjoy life when you look at others who are worse off than you yourself. No, it has to come from a true, not convincing yourself that you, not a true immediate realization of aliveness and joy. So as you go to sleep, you lie there on your bed. And if you have a roommate, some of you have, if you get challenged in the middle of the night by your roommate snoring, then this is your first opportunity of surrender, or Of course, first you can try to wake him or her up. Wake up. That might work for a few minutes and then goes back to snoring. And then you come to, and then you realize there's also a joy in complete acceptance. It's fine. No, nobody inside anymore, neither on the emotional level nor on the mental level, that says this should not be happening or this should not be happening to me. No, this just the isness of this moment, and then even somebody snoring, which is a small challenge, can actually take you to a place of peace and joy when you completely accept. Emotional level nor the mental level that says this should not be happening or this should not be happening to me. No, this just the isness of this moment, and then even somebody snoring, which is a small challenge, can actually take you to a place of peace and joy when you completely accept. Can actually take you to a place of peace and joy when you completely accept. Accept.